Well, it's a true pleasure, like I said, to have the family in, and I know that there have been several of you that have either traveled to family or as family has come to you, and it's always a joyous occasion for Christmas to come around. I know for us, it's the one time, really, it's kind of got to where it's about the only time through the year that the brother and sister kind of gets to have an opportunity to be at each other's throat again, and we always appreciate the bickering. I did have to set my foot down last night at the dinner table to say, "Now, kids, calm down." I just love that, but well, I don't get to do that anymore. But anyway, it's always good to get to yell at to have the kids come home, and we're gonna kind of bring in some family with the message this morning as I prayed about this when Brother Todd called me and said, "Hey, would you mind filling in for Sunday morning on this last Sunday of the year?" I said, "Well, yeah, I would love to do that. The kids will be here." And so because this is the first time in a long time. Now, I was called to minister the word. Now, I was called to sing for a long time, but called to minister, to preach the word in 2008. Now, my kids always told me that, "Dad, you've always preached," to us anyway. And so this is an opportunity. I thought immediately whenever I had this opportunity that this message really is geared toward my kids. I've got them in a closed atmosphere here. They're in a pew, and I don't think they'll get up and leave, so I'm going to preach to them. The rest of you can join in if you want, but this is really to my kids. But no, I'm just kidding. Mark was going to help me out there a little bit. If they were going to sit a little bit closer, he was going to be sure that they were listening at certain times when I hit certain points of the message. But it is good to be here. It's good to see you, and we've got a nice crowd this morning. And I do want to lead in here. We're going to be taking several verses, and you've got the little note thing. I like the way Brother Todd has done this little note thing here. They got the verses. Now, I don't think it's going to go up here. I was up at church. Went to church with Jody and their family up at Blue Springs, and of course, I always take the Bible with me and to study and stuff, and always take it to church and stuff. And my grandson John, our grandson John, said, "No, Grandpa or Pops," says, "you won't have to take your Bible. We've got that up on the wall." But it's not going to be on the wall. But I do have the verses and stuff, and we're going to be looking at several verses out of John. It's going to make it pretty easy to find that, because all the scriptures taken out of the Gospel of John as we go into this. I would like to just bow our heads for a moment in prayer, and I'd like to just lift the rest of this service up in thanks and then in gratitude and in praise to God the Father and the Son. Father, we just come before you, and I just praise you for who you are. And I thank you so much for this season in which we've come through, Father, and the Thanksgiving season, that we take the time to step back and just in thanks look to you. And Father, in this time of birth and newness and beginning, Father, I just I praise you for that, and the way that your miraculous hand had put that all in place long before anything was ever put together by your hands and by your voice. And Father, I just I thank you so much for the birth of Christ, your Son, to come to this earth. And Father, as we go into the rest of this service, I do pray that you'll just take the Scripture, Father, the Word, and that you'll touch the hearts of each and every one that are here, Father, that there's an understanding. And Father, that they can go away saying, "Praise God, glory to God in the highest." Father, and we just praise you in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Now, as we go into the new year, one of the things that that a lot of people do, now I don't know about you, but I know that a lot of people, we've got the new year that is about to begin. And we got the new year that's going to be starting here in just a few days. And it's at this particular time that people often say, "Okay, I'm going to make a list All right, I'm going to make a list of things that I'm going to do this year. All right, now I'm not going to have you raise your hand for those that make lists, because I know I've got a wife that makes a daily list of things that I must do on a daily basis. But I know that there are some that start the year off. In fact, little get-togethers, there's even little games that kind of get together. And what they do is they write down maybe one or two of the things that they would like to see done or in their lives, or what they would like to get accomplished for the new and coming year. And then they fold those things up, and then they pack them away. And then the next year, whenever they get their little get-together with their friends and stuff, they bring those out and they go, oh, yeah, I remember making that. I didn't really remember it after the second. But anyway, and then there are some that take that pretty serious, and say, okay, I am going to lose weight. I'm going to do this, or I'm going to do that. Anyway, we make those lists for the coming year, that because it seems like we have that opportunity, or we feel like we've got the opportunity of new beginnings. We've got new beginnings that's going to start off, and we're going to start that year off in a great and wondrous way, and we're going to plan for great things to take place. And now I understand that there's some things that you just can't plan, but there are some things that we sit down and we say, okay, we're going to do this and we're going to do that. Well, and that's the one thing that the main thing that I love about Christmas is that it was a new beginning. It was a new beginning that was going to be changing the world at that time, going from a time of law, and this is the, one, two, three, four, to that of grace. I mean, when Christ was born, the plan that God had to be able to save the world was set into motion. And as a result of that, a new beginning truly was starting for opportunities for us. And so as we go through that, and as we get into the lists for the coming year, and I think the lists are great. I really do. I have those objectives and I have those goals that I want to accomplish. But as we go through, I want to mention four things here in the next few minutes that I think as you make your lists for the new year, I would like for you, I'm going to suggest to you that you keep these things in mind as you make and as you produce those lists, okay? And so as we go here, we're going to start out in Luke here, and it's we've got the birth of Christ, and the angels and so on come, and they're praising God for the birth of the Son of God. And then about 2 years later, we have the Magi, the three kings that come and they visit the newborn baby. And then there's as we know, that about 10 years pass, and approximately at the age of 12, we see in Luke the Jesus is in Jerusalem again. They've come for the Feast of the Passover, and they've done that, the family, and in Jerusalem, and as they're passing, as they're leaving, assuming that young Jesus, the son, is with the rest of the family that's in the entourage that is leaving, Jesus is left behind. And we know the story of how they frantically look, they go back, and then they look for a day, and they finally find him there in the temple. And the question here that Mary says, was giving Jesus is, Jesus, look what you've put us through here. And then, of course, I love his reply. Why is it that you sought me? Now, this is Luke 2:49 here. Why is it that you sought me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? And that's really what this message here, this few words that I have this morning, is about my Father's business. And I pray in my own life and in my family's life, and I pray in my family with my fellow believers. I do pray that everything that we do and everything that we wrap our lives around, that we're going about the Father's business as we make those plans and then as we live those plans out about my Father's business. Now, there were four things that I want to bring out here as far as it's about what was the Father's business that Christ was going to be going about, was going about, and was going to be going about during this particular time. Well, the first one was to do the Father's work. Now, I believe that it was Christ's job to demonstrate to us later on just what was the Father's work. What is the Father's work? If you are a part of the family of God, if you are a child of God, I'm really kind of going towards you this morning. I'm kind of talking to you because until if you're not saved, if you haven't accepted Christ as your Savior, you're not going to hear those words of what the Father's work is until you do accept Him as your Savior. All right, so I'm really kind of talking to the children of God here as we bring out some things here out of Scripture. But to do the Father's work, and the first area here is John 10, 24 through 29, and then a little bit further on into John. And this is taken a little bit further on, but to demonstrate His work. What was the Father's work? Then the Jews surrounded Him and said to Him, "How long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." And Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me." And the first thing that I want to bring out here is the works that you do, are you bearing witness of who the Father is? Now, you may not be a pastor, you may not be per se the minister, or you may not do that kind of ministry, but everyone has a ministry in your life. In whatever you do, God has put you there to minister. In the workplace, in the play place, no matter where, you are to bear what the Father's work is, and it's through you that most of the world is going to see just who God is. It is you that is the representative of who God is. And I ask you today, in your work or whatever it is that you're going to be doing, do you represent God in a way that He would be glorified? That's one of the questions that I have. Do you bear witness of Him? In verse 26, "But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep. As I said to you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand." What a promise! What a promise! They'll never snatch them out of His hand. "My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand." Now, in verse 37, a little bit further down, "If I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me. But if I do, though you do not believe me, believe the works, that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I am Him." Does the world that you live in, do they know God through you? Big question. Now, there is something in Luke 4 that kind of gives us an idea of Jesus Himself took it out of Isaiah 61, I believe. But it says, this is Jesus speaking here, "to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. He sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim this acceptable year of the Lord," which is that year in which grace began. All right, but those are the things. This was the mission of Jesus. And I contend that as Christians, we are to follow Christ as the example of what we must do. And we must do the very same things. Only we allow God to work through us and let God do those things through us. But again, these are the works. Now, the second thing here is to proclaim the Father's words. You know, there's a lot of people that just don't go out and just read the Bible. In fact, there's a lot of research that says there's a lot of Christians that don't read the Bible. Now, it's been several years since I've looked at any research as far as percentages, but there is a very, very high percentage, well over 70% of Christians that never open their Word, never open the Scripture, never read the Word that God has given us. To proclaim the Father's words. In John 17, it says, now they, this is verse 7, John 17, 7. Now they have known that all things which I have given you are from me. For I have given to them the words which you have given me. Now Jesus is speaking of God, giving him the words. And they have received them and have known surely that I came forth from you. And they have believed that you sent me. As we go through our daily life, as we go through the ministries that God has put us in, does God, can the world see, or the words that you speak, are those the words that God is giving you to give to them? Remember, once again, it is us as Christians, as children of God, it is for us to be the representatives. We are those that God has put in front of people to be able to, first of all, proclaim His Word. And they see us as examples. And so the things that we do, the things that we proclaim with our words, are those the words that are glorifying, and are those the things that God would have us give, that God has given us to give to them? Because there's a lot of people that don't read the Word, so they don't know what Scripture says about who Christ is. I mean, just look at the world today and the way and the directions in which the world has gone. It's very evident that they don't know Scripture. It's very evident that they're not following the words. And so you yourself, as a child of God, you must get into the Word. And that I'm going to suggest, may be one of those things that you put on that list, is get into the Word more so on a daily basis, so that when you go out into your ministry, when you go out to do the Father's work, the work that you're doing is truly the Father's work. And the words that you're hearing, either through the Holy Spirit or through the Scripture, are the words that are coming from the Father. Okay? So, as to proclaim the Father's words. The second, or the third thing, is to glorify the Father's name. In John 13, verse 31, so when he had gone out, verse 31, so when he had gone out, Jesus said, now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and glorify him immediately. Everything that we do, any accolades, any rewards, anything that we collect in that aspect, any thanks we receive, we really must give God the glory and the praise. Because in all things, they are God's. In all things of this world, and all creation and everything that we have, God is responsible for those things. He's given them to you for you to be able to utilize in your ministry here on this earth. Folks, we're here for one reason, one reason only, and that is to glorify and to follow God. There's no other reason why we're here. Everything should be focused and centered around God. So to glorify the Father's name was that third area. And then the last thing that I want to mention here this morning is to carry out the Father's will. To carry out the Father's will. There's so many people, I've heard this through the years, I just don't know what God's will is for me. I'm so confused. I just can't seem to... It's just not clear what His will is in my life. Now, I believe there's times that God doesn't just write it down and put it in front of you as a placard and say, okay, here it is. All right? Because there's a certain part of your life And it's called faith. I mean, if God put it out there to where you could see it and read it and just know that it's there because you see it, then we wouldn't need faith. You know, when I step over into glory land, there's a line, I think it's in The Lighthouse, the old song The Lighthouse, I think. It's where my faith shall receive sight. And it's at that time when I step and I see, and I'm in the presence of God, in the presence of the Son of God, that I no longer have to have faith because it's going to be right there. I no longer have to have faith. But here on this earth, God has put us into a position that we must live in faith. I mean, it's only that way that we can truly know that God sent His Son in this season that we're celebrating right now. In this season where we have the birth. And then a little bit later on into the spring here, we're going to celebrate what we call Easter. And we're going to celebrate the resurrection of Christ. It's only through faith that we can truly know that God sent His Son to die for us. And that He would 3 days later rise again and live and take on all sin. And that through believing in Him and allowing Him into our hearts, allowing Him to come in as Lord of your life, it is only faith that we can say that we are saved from eternity in hell. It's that faith. And a lot of decisions, the thing about the sovereign God is that our lives are mapped out. And that's the wonderful thing. Now, there's some people that can't really grasp onto the idea I better be careful here. We're gonna get into the discussion of free will and sovereignty and all that. But beyond that, let you know that there are no surprises in God's eyes. There's no surprises in God's plan. And as we live our life, we can be assured through faith that God's got it all worked out for us. No matter what we step into, no matter where we step out to, that God is there. You know, we read a verse that we are in His hands. We're there, and He's not going to let us go. So as we look for the coming year, as we look for that time of setting back, and you know, we've kind of stepped back and we've had a reflection of thankfulness. And we've looked at, we've had a reflection of a new beginning, the new life that is going to be provided for us by the birth of the Son of God. And as we look at that and we celebrate the birth, and a little bit later as we get into the first part of the year, into the springtime, and we celebrate the resurrection of true life, as we look at that, let's make sure that as we make our lists, as we put those lists together, that we are about the Father's work. And that we are proclaiming the Father's words. And that we're glorifying the Father's name. And that we are carrying out the Father's will He has for each and every one of our life. That's what our list should be centered around. And as we get into the new year, I pray that you allow God. You allow God to truly work in your life and allow those things to come out through you. If our song music group would come up. We're going to have a little bit of a time here. If there's a lot of things that we are about to, the church itself, the body here is about to start. In a new year, you saw the little packet of things you got in the announcements. We've got all kinds of different things that have begun. And those right there are going to be a good place to start in praying and say, how can I be effective in some of these new new things or these new projects that are going to be coming. What can I do to step out and help? And then there's other things that we've already got established right here in the church that as far as ministry, we've got so many ministries that are outreaching right now. Where can you step in and you be part of what you need to be doing to proclaiming the Father's work and to glorifying the Father? Going about the Father's business. If you're saved, if you accepted Christ as your Savior, then you're part of a kingdom that is to be about the Father's business. If you are not, if you've not ever accepted Christ as your Savior, or if you even have a question of I'm not really sure if I have. I know that I might have done this when I was young, or I might have done that in another church, or whatever. Then I challenge you to either talk with me or Brother Todd or someone here in the church about your relationship, that personal relationship with God. Because that's where it all begins. We're talking about new beginnings here. What a wonderful, wonderful new beginning that would be, starting the new year off by accepting Christ as your Savior. What a way to start the year. And for those of you that have been kind of wondering, golly, what am I supposed to be doing? What is it? And now might be a good time to just really totally give over your life to God. Make Jesus truly the Lord of your life.